Matthew chapter 6 and verses 16 to 18 is where we're going to be looking this evening. And this is in part of our series on the theme of growing as Christians. Remember, we began with Peter saying, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." And we've thought about our responsibility to grow and how it's up to us. We have to not just rely on being spoon-fed by a minister, but we have to go and seek out God's word for ourselves. We looked at how to read the Bible to good effect. We looked at how to pray. And last week we looked at giving as a means of growing as well. And we're coming now to a subject that is really not one spoken about very much in Scottish evangelical circles these days, and that's the subject of fasting. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the Welsh preacher and doctor, said 50 years ago, he said, "For evangelicals, this whole subject of fasting seems to have dropped right out of our lives and right out of our Christian thinking." And that was 50 years ago. And I think his words are still very much relevant today for evangelicals. And yet, verse 16 of chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus says, "When you fast." And again, he says it in verse 17. "When you fast." Jesus says, "We do it." That's what he's saying. When we do it, this is how to do it. It's not if you do it, here's how to do it. But when you do it. It's the same as with giving in verse 2 and prayer in verse 5. It's when you do it. He expects us to do it. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 14, John's disciples came and asked Jesus, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast." Jesus has been taken from us. He is back in heaven. Now is the time for fasting, Jesus says. So let's do it. You wake up one morning, and it's not going to be an ordinary day, because you plan for this day to be different. You shower and you dress. You shave. Well, I do anyway. Not everyone's going to shave you. You clean your teeth. But you haven't had any breakfast. And then, well, let's look at this fasting business under four headings. The heading, concern, concealment, concentration, and contentment. Concern. Concern is the reason why today is going to be different. Because last night you determined that you were going to fast. And the reason you determined that is because you're greatly concerned. You're greatly concerned about something. Now, it could be a whole range of things. Perhaps you're greatly concerned about your own sin. You're greatly concerned about the power that your bodily appetites have over you. Perhaps you're greatly concerned about the state of the church. You're greatly concerned about the state of the country. Perhaps you're greatly concerned about some enormous decision that you have to make or some crisis that you face. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, we read that the apostles fasted because they were greatly concerned that the new elders in the different churches where they were appointing elders would prove sufficient for the task of leading their newborn churches forward. We read Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord. They were greatly concerned. And they prayed and they fasted. So the root of fasting is a concern, a more than normal concern about something. But I need to issue a word of caution at the beginning. Please take care if you're going to fast. Make sure that you haven't got any medical conditions that would make fasting inadvisable or even dangerous. The fact is, though, that even if you're perfectly healthy, fasting may well make you feel lousy. And if it does, remember that it is a way of humbling you before God, making you feel your frailty, your bodily weakness, your dependence upon that daily bread you pray for. Daniel, for example, in chapter 9 of his book tells us that when he thought it was time for the captivity in Babylon to come to an end, he says, "I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes." And Nehemiah, when he heard about the destruction of Jerusalem, the state of Jerusalem rather, and how its walls were broken down and its gates burned with fire, he says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." These were men who were using fasting as a way of truly humbling themselves. You know, they both were men in high position, and life was on many levels very comfortable, sumptuous, no doubt, by the standards of their day. But they fast and they feel lousy. They humble themselves, because fasting is not about feeling wonderful. It's not about getting to feel wonderful or spiritual or complacent. It's about forgetting yourself. It's about bringing yourself down, because there's a concern that overrules everything. So this morning, you begin your fast burdened with a concern. The second thing that Jesus wants us to think about as very important here is concealment. Because if you're going to fast effectively, it's something you must try to do in secret, Jesus says in verses 16 to 18. And that's really the main point of what Jesus is saying here about fasting. And indeed, what he's saying to some extent about prayer and about giving as well. So verse 16, when you fast, don't put on a miserable face so that everyone thinks, what's up with him? Don't try to show people that you're fasting, Jesus says, because then you'll have received your reward in full, just in the praise that people give you, or they are impressing people. When you fast, he says, well, here he states what normally people would do to start the day. They put oil on their heads and wash their face. It's what everyone did. It's not like a special thing. It's just what everyone did, so it would be the way people would normally look. So that, verse 18, it would not be obvious that you were fasting. You just look normal, because you're trying not to be seen to be fasting. The only one whom you want to know about your fasting is your Father in heaven. He who is unseen, who sees what's done in secret, who will reward you. So fasting is probably not something you can easily or effectively do when you're trying to go about your daily chores, or your usual work, or socializing as normal. So you have to choose your time for doing it. Time when perhaps you're not required to be out among the public. Fasting is for set apart times. You arrange for a time when you can really focus. You do it in secret. So it's really about you meeting with God. It's about a secret meeting between you and God. And of course, it's very closely related to prayer, which is the same. A secret meeting with God, as Jesus teaches. So fasting really is something that other people can't really be party to, can't really be part of, unless, of course, you're doing it with a group of people because you all share that common concern. And sometimes we see that, for example, in Acts chapter 13. The church in Antioch says they were worshipping the Lord and fasting. And the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off on the first missionary journey to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And there was that common concern for the needs of the nations, which brought the church to pray and to fast, to meet with God together. So generally, fasting in New Testament terms is not going to look like the kind of fasting that Jesus was familiar with in his society, where the Jewish people would fast perhaps on the Day of Atonement or on the Jewish New Year. Or it's not like the fasting that even Christians sometimes practice at Lent, or other religions practice, like Muslims are practicing just now during the month of Ramadan. It's not like the fasting the Pharisees did twice a week, as Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 18. That's not like the Christian fast that Jesus means us to participate in here. These kind of fasts are generally public. They're social. They're not about the secret place of your relationship with God. And Jesus doesn't encourage that at all in verses 16 to 18. He's not encouraging us to, in any sense, be public about our fasting. And even, as I said, Lent, which is practiced in some Christian traditions, often simply becomes a public thing. It's something in which people are participating, and it's more about the social element of it rather than about the secret relationship with God that Jesus is aiming for us to concentrate on. So concealment is a really important part of this fasting that you're doing on this morning that you've set apart. You are doing it at a time and a place and a situation, hopefully when no one will ever know, ever, that you ever did it. And the third thing is concentration, because the New Testament fast is about focusing on God and about God and more of God. And what fasting then is to remove the distractions. You're fasting from distraction. Distractions from God. So something like going to purchase and then having to prepare and then eat food is a big distraction. You avoid the distraction. So fasting then is a positive act. It's not about doing without. It's about having more. More of God. It's not about doing without food. It's not about doing without other things that distract. It's about meeting with God. Fasting then is a positive thing. See, in your normal routine on that morning, you'd have said, "Well, I'll get up and I'll have my breakfast and I'll brush my teeth and I'll shave and I'll have maybe half an hour to read the Bible and pray before it's time to go out and do the shopping or do the ironing or go to work or meet my friend for coffee or whatever it is." That's a routine day. Hopefully you do meet with God in that half an hour, but there are all kinds of other intrusions and all kinds of other priorities as well. The fast is different, because in the fast you're basically saying, I will get out of bed and I will meet with God. That's the fast. You give yourself entirely to God. Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it like this. He says, "Forget your face and what it looks like. Forget yourself. Forget other people altogether and give yourself entirely to God." So you think about Jesus when he was choosing the 12 disciples. Luke chapter 6 says, "One of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent a night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. Now, it doesn't actually say explicitly that he fasted, but you can see the fasting there. Jesus is giving himself entirely to his Father and to this concern in secret. This concern he has to choose 12 leaders for the future church. Sometimes we see Jesus going to great lengths in fasting. There is the 40-day fast that is recorded in the Gospels. An extreme example. I don't know if we're meant to understand that Jesus didn't eat food at all for the whole period, or that there were periods in that he didn't eat food. But whatever, we see that Jesus is not in the normal routine. What he is doing is completely concentrating on getting a victory over the devil. Absolutely everything. So he's away there, he's in a secret place, he's doing the secret battle with the devil. And that is what he's concentrated upon completely. Now, of course, if you are in a relationship with someone that you want to be intimate, you need to have special times in that relationship. Perhaps an evening out together, a weekend away together. Well, fasting is a way of having a special time in your relationship with God. So it's not routine. It's not just something you're doing out of habit, like maybe your daily Bible reading and prayer. This is something that is special time, dedicated time, concentrated time for God. So that morning you get up and you're saying, I'm going to focus on this concern before God, and no one is going to know about it except him. He's going to know, and I'm going to concentrate on him. So you see, fasting is about your relationship with God. I mean, there are other reasons why people do fast, but this is not the Christian fast. For example, you could fast to lose weight. You could fast to get mental clarity. Some people say they get great clarity of thought when they fast. Well, that may happen. You may lose weight, but that's not what the Christian fast is about. Again, other people fast so that they will become more in control of themselves. Their self-denial will be good for them. It'll help them to take charge of their appetites. And again, that's true. Fasting may help you become more self-disciplined, but that's not what Jesus is focusing on here. Listen to what he says. Your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. It's about your relationship with God. It's about concentrating on him and bringing this concern that you have before him. So in that morning where you maybe normally have your breakfast and read the paper or do an hour in the garden or do the Times crossword or watch the telly or visit a friend or go for a walk, you're not going to do anything like that. You're concentrating on bringing this concern before God. And because there's nothing else that you're doing. You're not eating. You're not bothering about preparing food or eating food or all that's associated with that. It's just God. Because all the other things that you normally do are just not happening. You really are focused. You really are concentrated. Of course, in this day and age, it does mean you've got to switch off devices as well. If you're really going to do what fasting is about, your Father is the focus in your fast. And so, please put off the phone and the mobile and, you know, any means of receiving messages of any kind from the outside world. Because fasting is removing distraction. Remove the distraction, every distraction. It's your Father. There's a little sidelight on this, perhaps, in 1 Corinthians 7. And there the subject is marriage relations. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:5, do not deprive each other of sexual relations, is what he's speaking about, except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. So there's another distraction, says Paul, in your married life, your spouse, and your intimate relationship with him or with her. There has to be a time, says Paul, where you say, forget that, I devote myself to God, my Father, in prayer. So every distraction is removed. That's what fasting is. So that you can bring this concern in a concealed way, a concentrated way, to your Father. And finally, hopefully, this will bring contentment. As the morning proceeds and the day passes, and you use the privileges that you have of reading and studying the Bible and of prayer, which we've already been looking at in this series, you bring your concern to God. You know that fasting isn't an automatic thing. You don't just think, well, if I fast for 6 hours, I'll get what I want from God. It's not like that. And again, I know that it's easy for Christians, in many traditions, to actually do that and fast. They think, I want something from God, I'll fast and I'll get it. No, it's not what it's about. God isn't a small God. He isn't a vending machine God. You put in your penny's worth of fasting and you get out whatever you want from him. No, it's not like that. God is the God of glory. And in your fast, you're concentrating on him in the hope that you may glimpse something of that glory and surrender everything to him. That you may become content with his will, whatever he's going to do about that concern of yours. He knows that you're there in secret fasting. He will reward you, says Jesus. Let him reward you as he sees fit. Let others seek other rewards. Let others fast so that they can impress people. Jesus calls them hypocrites in verse 16. They think that by fasting they show how godly they are. But in fact their motives are that they will impress others by how godly they are and impress themselves at the same time. And that's hypocrisy. Because really the fasting is not about godliness at all, it's about impressing others. God knows that. And God will not reward that kind of fasting. So we are seeking God's reward. So our fast is not about what we think of what we're doing, or what others think about what we're doing. It's about what God thinks about what we're doing. And it's about us coming to that place where we're content with what God thinks, where we're submitting to what God thinks, and where we're happy with however God rewards, however God responds to our fast. And so at some point, perhaps late morning, maybe in the middle of the afternoon, maybe night time, whatever, as we concentrate and give ourselves to God, at some point, our concern will give way to peace. God has heard. And we can leave it with him. And we can trust him. We can give thanks. We can praise. We know in our spirits, God has heard. We know in our spirits that whatever spiritual warfare was taking place in our fast, it is complete. And we know in our spirits thanksgiving, release, joy, peace. We can praise God and we can break our fast in moderation and go on our way rejoicing. And as Paul says in Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Am I serious? Do I really mean what I've just said about fasting? Well, I'm just the preacher. I'm just the preacher. Jesus is the one who says, when you fast. What I've done is just try to do my best to tell you how I think Jesus wants us to do it. But it's up to me and it's up to you how we do it and whether we do it and whether indeed we take anything that the Bible says seriously. Jesus says, when you fast, your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast. Amen.